Lava saying good afternoon. This is Kes Tutisadei with us, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. And, of course, live streaming audio at ktym.com. That's www.ktym.com.
Mano kiūne graudina geltono žibinto angis. Aš neieškau namų, nes namų niekada neturėjau. Tik sėdėjau į svetimą dangų žiūrėjau, kol pulsuojančios žvaigždės spigliais man išdūrė akis. Tik sėdėjau į svetimą dangų žiūrėjau.
Thank you again, of course, for taking the time to listen to us here on Saturday and letting us into your homes or into your automobile. Here at Independent Lithuanian Radio, we really appreciate it. Our regular listeners will know that we always give you a weather update for Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. Today it rained. That is Saturday. It rained in the capital city, and the high was 70 degrees. Tomorrow's high should be 72, Monday 69, and basically thereabout into the mid-70s with widely scattered showers through Wednesday. As we approach next weekend, the last weekend of May, temperatures should start to climb back towards 77, 78, and 79 degrees in Vilnius. That little clip of opening music was performed by, let's call him a bardas, you know, a bard, you know, your old Shakespeare English literature classes, the old bards of the old days, and that's what they call it in Lithuania, bardai, people that still do that style of dainuojama poezija, or singer-songwriters that have, you know, it's more poetry than it is a song, and it happens to be accompanied by music, so that's why they call it dainuojama poezija, or singing poetry. Anyway, that was done by Kostas Smoriginas, pretty much a household name in Lithuania, and I just bring that up because there's going to be a bardu festival, bardu festivalis, or a sort of a folk singers, singer-songwriters festival right here in Southern California. It's the second one, and to be clear, of course, it is Lithuanian singer-songwriters, or at least artists of Lithuanian descent. Anyway, again, that is on the 15th of June, Birželio penkiolika, June 15th. What's that, in about 3 weeks? And that's at 6 o'clock in the evening at what is known as Peciulio Rancha. Okay, Mr. Aloysius Peciulis owns a chunk of real estate out there, his ranch. Got a horse corral, and as a matter of fact, you can go horseback riding while you're out there. So you bring the whole family, you camp out, you listen to good music, you drink some wine or some beer, and you enjoy the evening, and then you sleep right there in the back of your car, or you pitch a tent out in the field. It's really a good time, and you're entertained. The cost of the evening is $30, and that's it, you know. And you'll be able to buy food and drink there. And unless you bring your own, okay? And again, there will be horseback riding, so they'll sort of give you lessons if you've never ridden before and all that, so there'll be plenty to do. And there's also, of course, facilities for you to wash up, and portable toilets and the like. Anyway, once again, it starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. If you want to go horseback riding, you should get there by about 4 o'clock, okay? 4 o'clock for horseback riding. And among the artists presenting will be Andrus Kaneva. Now, he's from Lithuania, and he's got quite a name for himself, working with the Keistuolių Teatras, which is a big hit in Lithuania. Andrus Kaneva. And then also from Lithuania, Domantas Razauskas. And locally from the Los Angeles area, Eric Petraitis and Dave Motke. All of them will be presenting their own creations, their own songs. They will sing them for you. So once again, on Birželio penkiolika, June 15th, the Bardu Festival, the folk dance, folk singers, singer-songwriters Lithuanian Song Festival in beautiful Agua Dulce. Did I tell you where? I don't think I even told you where it was. It's in Agua Dulce, and that's at 35885 Bass Rock Road. But what you should do is contact and ask for info, 323-360-7786, 323-360-7786. Or call us here. We'll be happy to fill you in on any kind of details you would like to know about it. And the Agua Dulce area, in case you're not familiar, you remember the Flintstone movie and those rock formations. It's out that way, north of Los Angeles, off the 14. And, you know, with any luck, you'll be there in a little more than an hour with midday weekend traffic, you know, probably an hour and 15, 20 minutes till you park your car at the end of a gravel road known as Bass Rock Road in Agua Dulce, California. More in the coming weeks. A little bit later on your calendar is on the 23rd, okay, in about a month, on the 23rd, Sunday at noon, will be Yis and Ye, Yis Ir Ye, him and her, okay? And it's a two-person play based on the love letters, and correspondence between Jonas Belunas and his wife Julia, where they wrote to each other and they created. They were writers in Lithuania. And at St. Casimir's, there will be a sort of a two-person play about them. And the actors and actresses, I guess now it's popular to say actors. There are no actresses anymore. The actors will be Birute Mar and Alexas Kazanavičius, okay? Birute Mar and Alexas Kazanavičius will play Jonas Belunas and Julia Beluniene. And again, that's at St. Casimir's at Sunday at 12 o'clock in the afternoon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall at 3855 Evans Street in Los Angeles, 90027. So hopefully that'll be fun, and we may see you there. Again, that is in Lithuanian, okay? The presentation will be in Lithuanian. And finally, we want to remind you that our very own Lithuanian Youth Ensemble presents their annual Jaunimo Švente, and that's just a week away, Sunday, June 2nd, okay? It's the end of the school year. People are taking off for summer, and this is sort of the ensemble's goodbye present to the community, where our young people will sing and dance for you, okay? And that's going to be, again, also at St. Casimir's at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, June 2nd. So it's right around the corner. And it says here that amongst the performers, you'll see bees, flowers, butterflies, and grasshoppers, not to mention some birds. So sounds like a lot of fun. The Jaunimo Švente, or the Youth Festival, Sunday, June 2nd at St. Casimir's. For more information, call 818-249-7574. It's always a lot of fun. It doesn't cost anything. You have a great time. And should you feel so inclined, you can donate a few dollars to help support the wonderful work that Angola Rasutita Varniene does with our young people. Once again, 818-249-7574 for more information. 818-249-7574. See you Sunday, June 2nd at noon. And before we go to a short break, we want to remind you about our current promotion. Okay, for $100 or more, $100 or more to independent Lithuanian radio, you'll be supporting our programming, and we will reward you, and hopefully you keep on listening, with a DVD, brand new DVD of our own Matos Markavičius' award-winning film, The Other Dream Team, which is the story of the 1992 Olympics as seen through the Lithuanian basketball team's eyes, and the journey from Soviet oppression and occupation to that glorious moment when the Lithuanians won the bronze medal and got to play the old Soviet team that they used to be on and win and they got to play the United States, the original Dream Team. So it's a great film, and it's available, by the way, if you just want to get the film. You know, there's no strings attached here. If you just want to get the film, you can drop by to Euro Deli Mart Lituanica, and you can buy it right off the shelf there for $20 plus tax. Okay, it'll wind up out the door almost $22. And you can also go through the other Lithuanian-style items that are there, Lithuanian souvenirs, and food imported from Lithuania, including delicious rye bread. So pick it up at 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard, 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard. Easier to remember, if you're not from the West Side, is 28 blocks from the beach at the corner of Yale and Santa Monica Boulevard. Like the school, you know, Harvard, Yale. It's at the corner of Yale and Santa Monica Boulevard in a strip mall, a little mini market, and it's called Euro Deli Mart Lituanica. And again, you can check out the selection of fine Lithuanian food products and pick up a copy of The Other Dream Team by Modest Mudkevičius. Or, if you don't feel like coming out and you're not hungry, you can send us a check for $100, and $80 will go to support the program. And the rest will be a gift to you. We'll ship you a copy of The Other Dream Team. Send your $100 or better donation to 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard. That's Independent Lithuanian Radio. Not Lithuanian American Radio, not Lithuanian Melodies, not English Lithuanian Radio, but Independent Lithuanian Radio. And send it to 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica 90404, and we'll shoot it off for you. And again, before we go to break, I want to thank those of you who are participating in our promotion so far, including Janet Damiano. Your DVD is on its way to you. Thank you so much, Janet, for your support. And Aldona Chinga, who dropped by personally, and Acho Labai, Aldona, thank you so much for your generous donation. And we're sending a DVD off to you, too. We'll be right back.
Tiek nedaug tereikėjo, kad būtume laimingi. Pameluoti nemokėjau, kur taip ilgai buvau pradingę. Tiek nedaug tereikėjo, būtume turtingi. Bet verga.
Another 30 seconds there of Kostas Smoriginas, one of those bards we've been talking about. Hope you enjoyed that. Anyway, we're back here with Independent Lithuanian Radio. Here's one of those stories that, you know, I love to hate. I really do. Because there is the EU commissioner. Shale gas prices in Europe won't reach U.S. lows. Yes, let's discourage people from thinking that they can have cheap natural gas. Isn't that a great way to go? You know, we've been talking on this program for months now about the largest shale gas reserves in Europe are around the Polish-Lithuanian border, and they should be developed. And there are Western multinationals that are bidding on the process, and a U.S. company appears to have won. Who do you think is going to do a cleaner job getting out that gas? A United States company or a company based somewhere in Siberia, former Soviet Union? Anyway, yeah, EU commissioner, shale gas prices in Europe won't reach U.S. lows. Lithuania and other European countries will not be able to reach as low prices of shale gas as the United States, said Connie Hedegaard, European Commissioner for Climate Action, has said on a visit to Vilnius. Gas extraction in Europe would not be as efficient as in the United States due to geographical and geological reasons, she said in an interview to Baltic News Service. Quote, it is more difficult geologically in Europe, many more people living in different spots. So for these reasons, the experts say, we will not have prices as low as in the United States. Have you been commissioner to Lithuania lately? It's a depopulated country, and frankly, you can drive for many, many miles through the countryside of Lithuania and not run into any more people, for better or for worse. She goes on to say, if a European Union member state, Lithuania or any other country, wanted to produce shale gas, the Commission would not object. Yet each country should first assess environmental impact. It's very important, she said, to look at the environmental aspect. What does fracking imply? What are the risks? What about the chemicals, the water contamination, the groundwater contamination? What about water resources? Are they there? These are fundamental questions which must, of course, be carefully analyzed before you start doing it. Yes, go ahead and scare everybody. So far, you've been successful at it. Not good if Lithuania wants independence from Russian gas and oil. Remember, we'll keep repeating it till it sticks, okay? Lithuania pays more for natural gas than, for example, Poland does, because there is no real market for natural gas, because Gazprom, the Russians own it. Gazprom is a Russian-owned company, and most agree that right from the top, Putin actually calls the shots. Yeah, this isn't some conspiracy theory. Putin has worked to bring that company under his control, and he has succeeded. And many believe that ultimately he makes the top decisions. And natural gas is priced by the Russians due to politics, and the Russians don't like Lithuanians. Okay? It's as simple as that. For example, north of Lithuania is Latvia. Latvia's population is about 50% ethnic Russians. They pay less for natural gas than Lithuanians do, where the ethnic Russian population only makes up something like 12 or 13% of the population. Okay? So get this. This is a bad idea. Unfortunately, I don't have the article with me, and I don't have access to the internet right at this second. But there is an article that was published just a week ago in the Weekly Standard, and it's about Gazprom. It's specifically about the monopoly of the Russian gas company and how recently they have lowered prices to some of their client states because of political reasons. Okay? But it also talks in there about how their biggest weapon, how Gazprom's biggest weapon, is the fear that the environmental movement puts into potential future producers. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. You know, last week we talked a lot again about deportations to Siberia, quoted extensively from a book called Children of Siberia. It's actually in Lithuanian in 2011, was just released in English, and this is the memoirs of something like 16 or 17 young people who at the ages of 5, 6, and 7 were deported to Siberia, and some re-deported. They were deported in 41. In 47, 48, they came back to Lithuania, were caught, captured, followed, and deported again for months in stinking railway cattle cars, to places in the Arctic. Incredible stories. You've got to read them. But I'm going to switch gears a little bit because there's another book out. I haven't read it. Okay, should be fascinating though. Different angle. Barbara Armonas has been extensively quoted in deportation literature. And literature about the Gulag. She was an American citizen, okay, an American citizen who wound up going through the Gulag system. As a matter of fact, the book Gulag, okay, Pulitzer Prize-winning book about 10 years ago. That book has a lot of quotes by Barbara Armonas about how terrible it was. I had no idea that she had a son, okay, and he has written a book about his experience. It's called How I Became a Comrade. Okay? How I Became a Comrade. Picture on the cover is a young man in a Russian army uniform. He became a communist. And it's subtitle, An American Growing Up in Siberian Exile by John Armonas, as told to Algis Ruxienas. Okay, now it's now available on Amazon, so you can look it up, How I Became a Comrade. An American child deported with his mother to Siberia, torn from her when she is given additional punishment at hard labor in the Gulag system, and how he is raised as a Soviet in order to survive. John Armonas was a U.S. citizen, but had been left behind. And listen to this. He was left behind when his American-born father, and his 5-year-old sister, Donna, were urged to get out of Lithuania and go back to the United States after the Soviets first occupied Lithuania in 1940. His mother, Barbara, a native Lithuanian, was assured by American officials she could soon follow with her 9-month-old son, John, as soon as her immigration papers were expedited. Instead, they ended up in Siberia in one of the massive waves of deportation from Lithuania and other Soviet-occupied countries after World War II. John became Ivan, an orphan, with his past hidden because his mother's alleged political offenses would have cut off all chances for his survival, let alone any opportunity for success within the Stalinist political system. A dramatic public encounter by his sister, Donna, with Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev during his visit to America in 1959 elicited from him a promise to let her mother and brother leave the Soviet Union and be reunited, ending a separation of 20 years, but not without additional bureaucratic harassment. This is a true story of survival, adaptation, and ultimate triumph over injustice. You remember when Khrushchev came to the United States, folks? 1959. Remember he wanted to go to Disneyland, and Mr. Walt Disney didn't want to let him go? Ah, those were the good old days of the Cold War. Anyway, for those interested, I'm certainly going to pick it up and check it out. How I Became a Comrade, an American Growing Up in Siberian Exile by John E. Armonas. And there you go. Another great way to educate yourselves and your non-ethnic American friends about the real history of what happened behind the Iron Curtain after the West thought World War II was over. Well, okay, here's some good news. Okay, this is exciting. She did it. Lithuanian climber Editha Nichols conquers Mount Everest. 1.5 months of acclimatization, training, uneventful sitting around at base camp, and freezing weather, all for a fleeting moment on top of the world's highest peak. In the early morning of Wednesday, May 22nd, Editha Uksaita Nichols finally did it. She reached the top of Mount Everest. Having left the last camp on Wednesday night, Editha's team went to Summit Push on the more challenging north side. "I did it, I did it, I did it," Editha yelled and told her partner right after safely descending to Camp 3. "It was technical and so scary. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. You know what the best thing about it was?" she asked, and after a moment's pause, answered herself, "I will never have to do it again. It's done." According to her blog, the group reached the summit at 8 o'clock in the morning due to very challenging weather. Only for a few minutes, the people of the group of 10 made it to the top. Well, to get ready for the climb and to work out and to stay in shape, she was working in Niger. And while she was there, she found out a lot of people were suffering from famine and all kinds of military armed conflict raging in Mali next door. She dedicates her ambitious quest to a campaign called Everest for Sahel 2013. She says she wants to draw attention to a serious food crisis that affects millions of families in that region and also collect funds to help abate the crisis. Now, Sahel is a zone in West Africa stretching across 8 nation states. The food crisis was triggered by crop failures in 2011 due to adverse natural conditions. As supplies of food went down, food prices spiraled upward, and many families cannot afford it and risk starving to death. She saw people suffering with her own eyes and resolved to try to help them. She thought she could direct attention to their problems when climbing Everest and maybe even collect money for relief. Quote, "To finance my Everest trip, I spent all my own hard-earned money and borrowed funds. I finance all the expeditions myself. This trip, too, is entirely covered by my personal funds and those of my sponsors, but this time sponsors only covered 3% of the expenses. Meanwhile, all the money donated or collected during this expedition is intended for the people of Sahel and will not go to my own account. and she thanks all who have contributed through her website. So if you'd like to know more about this, go to the World Food Program website or simply Google her name, and that's Edita Nichols, Lithuanian climber Edita Nichols, N-I-C-H-O-L-S, and you'll find out how you can help and contribute and support this noble goal of support famine relief in Africa. Finally, here's good news about real estate. You know, we talked all about the crash, and we haven't talked much about it since, but in Lithuania, that is, a worldwide real estate crash. April brought a visible increase in Lithuania's real estate market activity as property transactions jumped 16% year over year, according to Newsbiz Lithuania. Apartment trade, okay, that's the buying and selling of apartments, increased by a solid 35% to a post-crisis monthly record of 2,343 units. That's incredible. In all of Lithuania, in other words, 2,343 units were sold, according to preliminary figures from the real estate registry called Registru Centras. Now, the Vilnius market went even higher, with a 47% jump in April sales to close 800 units. 800 apartments were sold in Vilnius in the month of April. Sounds like things are getting hot again in Lithuania. Now, trade in non-residential buildings, okay, commercial buildings, was also up year over year across the country, but is still many percentage points below the record months in 2012. Trade in land grew by 15% year over year. Now, how many of you out there have Lithuanian television at home? You know, we haven't talked about that in a long time on this program either. You know, you can get a satellite hookup and watch Lithuanian television, okay, all day long. We keep it on in the background, you know, because there's so much cultural programming. It's sort of like public television. So there's a lot of singing and dancing type things going on all the time. And it's everything from kind of schlocky pop to opera and jazz. And, of course, in between, plenty of ethnic style music and the like. So, like I say, we keep it on in the background all the time, sort of as listening, even if we won't be sitting and watching it. Of course, there's also great cultural programming and historical things, especially when commemorating things like the deportations or the war or independence. There's plenty of that kind of good programming. But anyway, to get to the point, we were recently watching the finals for Eurovision. Now, if you don't know what Eurovision is, you're missing out. I mean, it's huge, okay? Things that you see here, like American Idol and all these singing and dancing with the star shows and all that type of programming, Eurovision, where all the countries in Europe compete for, like, the best singer, songwriter, band, act, participate. Anyway, listen to this. Russians are buying Lithuanian votes before Eurovision final. A concerned reader has reported to the Lithuanian News that he was approached by a man who offered him money in exchange for votes for Russia in the Eurovision final. He was approached by two Russian-speaking men when sitting with friends at the White Bridge in Vilnius. He called himself Mindaugas, and he said that two strangers offered him and his friends 20 euros each if they would send SMS text. That's how you vote. You vote on your cell phone. If you would send SMS from their mobile phones using SIM cards provided by these men. When they learned that those SMS would be votes for the Russian representative in the Eurovision final, they learned that they would be Russian votes in the Eurovision final. Dina Garipova. The Russian-speaking men suggested that they gather a group of 10 people and meet later. Anyway, make a long story short, the Lithuanian gentlemen refused to sell their votes to the Russians. Such is the intensity of Eurovision in Lithuania, the Baltics, and in Europe in general. Remember ABBA. ABBA was discovered on Eurovision. This is Kęstutis Reivydas for Independent Lithuanian Radio at KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Thanks for listening. Iki. Bye-bye.
ta tamsa, kur pasidėti, kai nei žemės, nei dangaus, nykiai smilksta cigaretė, lyg viena, lyg be žmogaus, ta tamsa.